I would now call to order the regular session of the Springfield Planning Commission. Today we'll be covering the quasi-judicial public hearing, request for type 3 site plan review for a proposed expansion to an existing light manufacturing building. So for attendance, Chair Cuevla is absent today. I myself, Vice Chair Sherwood, present. Do we have Commissioner Bose?
Here.
Commissioner Landon?
Here.
Commissioner Burke?
Here.
Commissioner Gill?
Here.
Commissioner McGinley?
Here.
All right, and will you now join me for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, are there any adjustments to the regular session agenda to be proposed by any planning commissioner or staff? Hearing none, we'll now hear business from the audience. If there is any, testimony is limited to 3 minutes. Testimony may not discuss or otherwise address public hearings appearing on this regular session agenda. Do we have any? Hearing none, we will now go into our quasi-judicial public hearing. And if we could get staff to explain the quasi-judicial hearing process.
Thank you, Vice Chair. This hearing tonight is characterized as a quasi-judicial hearing. Quasi-judicial means that certain due process procedural rights are associated with this decision-making process. These rights include the right to notice, the right to present evidence, the right to have a written decision based upon standards, and to an impartial decision maker. The primary purpose of the hearing is to establish a record upon which a decision can be made. The evidentiary rules associated with this hearing are less restrictive than used in circuit court, and all relevant testimony, including hearsay, may be considered. Please note the following aspects of tonight's hearing. You must raise procedural and substantive issues at this hearing, or you will be prohibited from raising those issues subsequently on appeal before the City Council or the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. A person raising an issue must support raising the issue with statements or evidence that is sufficiently specific so that the Planning Commission or City Council has an opportunity to respond to the issue. If you are the applicant, you must raise concerns regarding any proposed conditions of approval to preserve your right to appeal and or seek damages in circuit court. Failure to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the Planning Commission or City Council to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court. In a quasi-judicial decision-making process, the burden is on the applicant to show by preponderance of the evidence that all applicable approval criteria have been met. The criteria for this decision are found in Springfield Development Code Section 5.17-125 for the site plan review and in Section 3.4-230 subsection E for the major Glenwood Riverfront mixed-use plan district plan modification. Those are posted, the site plan review criteria were posted on a poster on the wall behind you, and the major Glenwood Riverfront mixed-use plan district plan modification criteria are posted on the PowerPoint or the slide on the television and can be brought up later on in the meeting if you wish. They're also summarized and included in the staff report. The record in this matter consists of the application and any supporting information, any staff report and supporting documents, and any testimony and documentary evidence admitted during this hearing. If you wish to admit an item, if you want an item entered into the record, then please present that item to the planning secretary orally or in writing. If there's a question in your mind whether any material is in the record, please make a point of asking that it be accepted into the record. By law, you have the right to request that the record be held open for 7 days. You do not have to give a reason for this request, but you must make it before the hearing is closed. If new evidence is introduced during that time, the record may be held open for an additional period of time to allow other parties an opportunity to respond to the new evidence. You may also request a continuance of the hearing. A continuance is discretionary with the Planning Commission. The party requesting it must show that a prejudice to his or her rights will not be cured by merely holding the written record open. This hearing is recorded on tape, so I ask that those who wish to testify follow the following procedures. First, please testify from the podium on my left and not from the citizen's seats. Second, begin your testimony by stating your name and address for the record. This enables the planning secretary and the planning commission to identify testimony offered by each speaker and assist in creating a transcript of the hearing if that's necessary. Finally, if you want a copy of the written decision, please provide your name and address to the planning secretary. The planning commission will issue its decision after the record is closed. The planning commission's decision can be appealed to the city council. Any person who participated in the hearing can appeal the decision to the city council. Please consult an attorney regarding the deadline and form of the appeal. Oregon land use law requires the planning commission to disclose any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest related to this matter and allow any person to challenge the planning commission for bias. Does anyone in the audience wish to challenge the planning commission for bias? Okay. Generally, a conflict of interest involves a situation where the decision maker, his or her family or business would benefit or suffer by his or her decision. And an ex parte contact is a communication to the decision maker that includes substantive issues regarding the application and occurs outside the public venue. Commissioner, at this time it's appropriate to open the hearing and declare conflicts of interest or ex parte contacts.
Thank you. I hereby open the public hearing. Are there any commission members that would like to declare potential conflicts of interest or disclosures of ex parte contact or bias? Okay, hearing none, we will now have the staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I'm just going to go over the application as far as its context goes, provide a little bit of background. It's a little bit unique. This is the first modification to an existing Glenwood site that we have had, and it's been elevated to a Type 3 review before the Planning Commission. Hence the reason for not having the criteria already available. It wasn't something that had been encountered before. So apologize for kind of patching everything together here. But this site is located at what I refer to as McVeigh Highway, but it's also addressed as Franklin Boulevard and Nugget Way. So it's on the northwest corner. This site is an existing manufacturing facility. And it is inside the city limits, although Nugget Way along the frontage is not. And so it does have some interesting characteristics that somewhat complicates the review and Glenwood code provisions, as we'll get into in this application, and will be further detailed in the applicant's testimony. The current zoning of this property is employment mixed use within the Glenwood Riverfront area. It does abut properties immediately to the west, also along Nugget Way, that are zoned still light medium industrial. It was originally zoned light medium industrial. And the type of activity that exists on the site and that is proposed for expansion is consistent with both districts. So it is a type of manufacturing facility that fits within the employment mixed use district, and so the expansion is supported and generally consistent with the provisions of that district. The applicant's site plan here that you may have seen in the application packet proposes to add about 50% more floor area to the site, a little over 12,275 square feet. It also brings the building facade closer to Nugget Way along the southern edge, so it does add about another 10 feet or so of building surface or building facade there, and provides for enhancement of the on-site operations. And the applicant can provide more detail as to exactly the nature of this facility, but it is kind of a high-tech manufacturing facility for sunshades with various applications. So this is a couple of snapshots I grabbed off of Google Street View. This is the existing south face, or south facade, south face of the building. It does have a sign, it does have an awning, it has no other penetrations of the building surface. It's essentially a wall. There's no doors or windows. This is the existing west elevation. It does have truck loading bays. It is inset from Nugget Way. The area that's being proposed to expansion is very close to where the current fence line is. So the building would be added, the expansion would be towards the viewer in this case. The applicant is proposing to address some of the visual interest and pedestrian amenity, pedestrian and building design standards of the Glenwood Riverfront Mixed Use District. It does call for window glazing and doors, a certain quantity and overall surface area that exceeds what the applicant is looking to provide in this case. They have certain reasons for that that they can get into, and primarily security and also the nature of the construction that's proposed. Does not lend itself to having multiple windows and doors in a tilt-up panel type of construction. In this case, the applicant is kind of caught in the middle between a restrictive covenant that's on the property requiring the use of concrete tilt-up panel or metal fabricated construction techniques and provisions of the code. A little bit at odds here. So to address some of the issues, which include improving the streetscape, the appearance of the building, and adding more permeability through windows, and also providing some architectural detailing, the applicant is proposing to provide masonry accents, add color, add awnings, add some windows and doors, and then other types of panels that kind of mimic windows that are not actually fused into the work area, but it adds more, I guess, contrast and visual interest to the building facade. They can explain a bit more in their presentation as to what they selected. That's all I have. So I just wanted to go over the recommendations as far as conditions of approval. This particular site does not have a stormwater facility. Nugget Way is a Lane County local access road. It's been paved. It's not really maintained by the county. It does experience a lot of truck traffic, and there's no piped stormwater system there right now. So currently, drainage from this site runs onto the right-of-way and then eventually dissipates, likely to the south and southwest into vacant property. The applicant is proposing to capture stormwater on the site, filter it using vegetated facilities, but then it would be released, similar to like a house using a weep hole in the curb, it would be released to the street right-of-way, Upper Nugget Way, which is essentially what is happening right now, but it's more of a controlled release that's proposed. So it does improve the quality of the water that's being released onto the public right-of-way, and it also mitigates somewhat the quantity. If you have specific questions about the stormwater, the applicant's engineers here to describe the stormwater facilities. But there are some conditions that staff is recommending, including installation of concrete catch basins as opposed to steel that was proposed originally. Because they're going to be placed in the public right-of-way, the concrete is the preferred option. It's consistent with city standards. There are a couple of conditions, which are 2, 3, 4. These are standard conditions where there are private stormwater facilities that are being constructed on the site, and the applicant enters into an agreement to maintain the facilities to ensure that they'll be functional and viable into the future. Also to provide interim measures if this vegetation that's proposed for these facilities does not establish immediately, to make sure that there isn't siltation into the public street right-of-way. One request that the city staff did have was to provide a description of the growth medium for the vegetation. There is a cross-section in the applicant's design plans that does show the depth of planting medium and the cross-section of the rain gardens that are being used. but it doesn't describe the actual type of soil, essentially. There are certain types, and Rexius, who prepared this landscaping plan, does provide a soil mix that's conducive to stormwater facilities, so it can allow for rapid growth of vegetation and also capture pollutants and trap them in the surface, in the soil. The applicant is proposing to remove what constitutes essentially street trees along the eastern edge of the site. There wasn't a clear indication that those would be replaced in their landscaping plan, so staff has recommended that street trees be provided. They provide shade for the parking lot. They also are required improvement for street frontages along public street. They are providing street trees along the south and southwest edge. They'll be replaced or retained, the ones that are there. And they also provide some screening of the facility too in the parking lot. One item that staff had identified is this is a gated facility. It would be beneficial to have emergency access provided for after hours, emergency access for the fire department. So there are certain types of keyed systems for electronic gates or locks that can be like essentially daisy chained with padlocks that the applicant would have allow for off hours access in the event of an emergency or fire to allow for access through the gate to get to the facility. The applicant is proposing in their site plan, and I don't know if it shows up very well in their site, but on the west side of this facility, a new truck loading dock is proposed. This building is actually constructed across two separate parcels, which is fine and acceptable, but because the truck movements cross the property line, there is a requirement, and it has been proposed, to have a cross-access easement to allow for trucks to pull onto one property and then do backing maneuvers across the property line. It's a little bit of a formality, but in the event that one property changes hands or ownership, it doesn't then preclude the truck movements because this facility is dependent upon that movement to avoid using the street to do the backing movement. The backing movement would be on the site, which is the preferred option here. So it does necessitate the use of an easement to allow for that crossing of the property line. The applicant's site plan, and I don't think it's this particular sheet, it does describe the bicycle parking in the narrative, that there'd be three spaces inside and one outside on an exterior rack. It's not really clear on the site plan because it indicates that one space will be inside and two spaces will be on the exterior. So staff has recommended condition number 9 to provide for four spaces. They can be inside and or outside the building. The bicycle rack is proposed beneath an awning, so it's essentially covered. So any combination of indoor and outdoor parking that would allow for the bike parking requirement to be met just needs to be described in the final plans. The rain gardens along the east edge of the site provide the stormwater capture and treatment for the parking lot, and there are currently plants in those areas that provide some screening function. There wasn't any proposal to replace the screening vegetation with this application, and staff has recommended condition number 10 to provide for more than just grassy type vegetation. There are other plants that can be planted in conjunction with swale and rain garden vegetation that would allow for both the stormwater facility to operate properly and also provide a screening function. So there's some dual purpose plants that can be selected for that area. So staff has recommended condition 10 to address that. Condition 11 is what is being requested. This is the ask of the Planning Commission. That is whether the proposed building facade treatment, the architectural detailing along the south and west building facade, meets the spirit and intent of the design standards for this district. Should that be the case, staff is recommending that Condition 11 acknowledges that alternative design standards are acceptable and they're approved. So Condition 11 is of particular interest to the commission in their discussions, whether they consider it to be a viable alternative or if it needs to be modified. Condition number 12 is something that arose through review of the staff report, and this is my oversight. Did not consider the pedestrian amenities requirement of the code. That was a section that had been, I guess, overlooked in favor of the design elements for the building facade. So in looking at what triggers these requirements, a lot of the pedestrian amenities are based on the overall linear footage of public street frontage for this site. Because it's got roughly 450 feet of frontage along Nugget Way, so it's the east-west portion, then it curves around to the northwest. It's essentially a corner site. That's a lot of frontage. And so it triggers the requirement for six benches, six trash receptacles, and nine pedestrian amenities just by virtue of its linear frontage. The staff does observe that a good portion of the western site frontage is driveways, truck loading areas, and there's limited opportunity for pedestrian amenities to be feasibly located in that area because of the nature of that activity and oversized trucks that would be, you know, mounting the curb and getting onto the site and maneuvering. So it is something that the applicant is requesting another look at. There are some mitigating factors. This is the anchor point of the Nugget Way future pedestrian corridor. There is a passable pedestrian sidewalk existing along the site frontage. It's going to be modified somewhat to address a large existing transformer that's at the southwest corner of the site, so that the sidewalk is going to have to be routed behind that to allow for appropriate passage and ADA accommodation. There are residents in this neighborhood that are in RVs on the street, and the garbage cans, should they be installed, would be the responsibility of the property owner to maintain, notwithstanding their presence in the public right-of-way. So it does create a situation where, in all likelihood, there'll be very limited pedestrian traffic until there's more of a complete facility throughout the street network, and the garbage cans and other facilities are being used by modified pedestrians in the area, not off hours or for people that are camping there, essentially. So that does complicate somewhat the requirement for these amenities. Staff is of the view that they should not be dismissed entirely, but there may be an opportunity to look at the timing and the nature of the amenities as to what would be appropriate at what time. Further, as I mentioned, this is not a city street yet. It's not been annexed to the city, and so it's kind of a bit of a no man's land because the county does not maintain it. And so by default, the city would, ideally it would be annexed and then improved, but it would require the cooperation of all the property owners along the way. The other thing I'd note is that west of this site, the Franz Bakery property recently went under building expansion and the facility expansion. They are not in the employment mixed use district. They're in the phase two area in the light medium industrial. However, they did install sidewalk along their frontage. And so there's a isolated section of sidewalk. It doesn't connect to all the sites yet, but it's another example of some improvements that have been made along Nugget Way, and with the intent that eventually there'll be a complete pedestrian connection along that street. So it's not without precedent that there is some pedestrian improvements made along Nugget Way. I think the request of the Planning Commission is to look at what the opportunities are for pedestrian amenities and whether there can be other types of amenities installed in the short term in favor of ones that may be installed in the long term to meet the code standards. I'll leave more details of the request to the applicant.
If I can just add some information there. If you made changes to that condition of approval and your recommendation, we would need findings that comply with the major plan modification criteria that are discussed with the facade and frontage standards. So the same modification criteria would apply to changing those required elements.
Finally, the last item was that there should be screening of any rooftop mechanical units. It wasn't clear from the building elevations whether there was like a parapet roof. Apparently there is. And so I believe that the screening requirement should be met by virtue of the building design. But just wanted to provide clarification that that would be a requirement. It can be done through like a parapet roof or through like louvers and structural screening of those units. Be happy to answer any questions if you have any. I note that the applicant will be providing additional details of the project, of the nature of the activities on the site, and also the request for the modification.
One question I have for you, Andy, is just you referred to the possibility of not requiring the amenities immediately, but possibly changing the timing on that. What would those options look like?
Typically, historically, the city would do something like an improvement agreement, where certain types of public improvements would be deferred to some type of a trigger point. As an example, a street project for improvements to the entire length of street, and then participating property owners that have an improvement agreement would be responsible for whatever frontage improvements. There might be street lighting, street trees, sidewalk. Many of the types of facilities that would be required have already either exist or would be installed with this. And this is, I guess, more Glenwood-specific amenities. So they have to be kind of written in. The city is looking to get away from that type of agreement to ensure that there is an actual construction of, you know, the required facilities. The other options that have been used are essentially a deposit where the cost or valuation of improvements is determined, calculated, and essentially paid in advance, and then the city will hold the money until such time as the project is undertaken, and then use that to pay for benches, you know, whatever else would be needed, lighting, that sort of thing. So there are some options available. There's nothing specific that staff has keyed in on as being appropriate or recommended for this site.
So that being the case, would staff just recommend to have them built immediately then?
I think staff's recommendation would be to build some amenities immediately. As to what they might be and what the viability is, I think artwork, lighting, maybe benches, there are there's a list of amenities that are available. Some may be more viable because they don't present a long-term or immediate-term maintenance issue for the applicant, or I guess an attractive nuisance that becomes, you know, if people are dumping the household garbage in the garbage cans and that sort of thing. So acknowledge that could be a factor here, and so that's why staff is looking to try to find a happy medium to not dismiss or preclude pedestrian amenities overall, but what is appropriate for this being the first site in this area, and it may be a while before anything else comes down the road. Site development to the south, as an example, is vacant. No indication as to timing where complementary improvements can be made on the south side of Nugget, as an example. So,
thank you. And we'll now have testimony from the applicant.
Good evening. I'm Becky with SSW Engineers. I'm here to talk to you about a
Rosen Sun Visor Systems. They design and manufacture sun visors for heavy equipment, aviation, marine, transportation, agricultural, and military sun visors. They're currently located at 4884 Franklin Boulevard. They're also across the street. With the proposed development that we are asking for, this will bring all of Rosen's operations under one roof. As Andy said, due to the restrictive covenant, we are required to use a concrete tilt-up building. And due to concrete tilt-up building not being allowed to use many holes in the wall, we are not available to meet all of the code requirements. Also, in addition, we are working around two large transformers, which are owned by Springfield Utility Board. With those, there are setbacks that we are required to have for openings in the building and building walls. Therefore, that's why the building is not as close as possible to those transformers. We are proposing, though, alternative designs. As Andy mentioned, we're doing rock facades, feature strips, color variations, and faux windows. The proposal is for 16 regular windows and 15 faux windows, in place of the required per the development code. As per the elevation, the faux windows will be colored similar to a regular window. So when you drive by, it will appear that the building has more windows in it than it actually is there. In addition to the windows, we have the rock outlining underneath the windows, and we have feature strips and the color band around the building. We have also awnings around the entry or above the entry doors and the overhead doors. And also, in addition, we are removing the existing awnings on the front of the building and the side, those there, and replacing them with matching awnings that it will match the new building. This will face Franklin Boulevard. While discussing the alternative designs, we would like to propose the alternative to the pedestrian amenities. Per the code, as Andy mentioned, one trash can and one bench are required per 80 feet of frontage, and two additional pedestrian amenities per 80 feet. By our measurements, Rosen's frontage on Nugget Way that is not driveway is approximately 320 feet, which equals four trash cans, four benches, and eight additional pedestrian amenities. In our discussions with Lane County and the City of Springfield, and as Andy mentioned, Nugget Way is owned by Lane County but is not maintained. Therefore, when maintenance is required, the owner is required to pay for it, or owners, and then they have to hire a private contractor to come fix potholes. In addition, the activities on Nugget Way next to Rosen includes, but is not limited to, our homeless RV camps, parking tractor trailers, and abandoning vehicles, along with other undesirable activities. Therefore, Rosen is concerned that if they add all of those amenities, they will either be stolen or damaged with the current activities. During the development review meeting, the request to create an ADA pedestrian path around the sub-transformer was made. Rosen granted it by giving them part of their property to create that ADA path that was non-existent in the right-of-way. Excuse me. With that, they're also adding the landscape on all frontages that are available. This is shown on L1.0 in your guys' packet. After much discussion, the city regarding the maintenance of the trash cans and benches, that we are requesting that the requirement for the trash cans and benches are deferred until the property to the south, and to the east are developed. This doesn't seem to fit the character of the area at this time, and we would like, we do want to do it, we just want to do it when it's appropriate. If the trash and can, if the trash cans and benches are installed now, they would only be used for local homeless campers to fill with their trash, which we believe is not the intent of the code. We understand that redevelopment must start somewhere. The current surrounding is either not expanding or developed. But the current surrounding area is either not expanded or developed, not within the Glenwood Riverfront District or undeveloped sites. Therefore, installing additional pedestrian amenities at this time would be out of current character of the area. Rosen's south building wall is approximately 12 feet from the sidewalk. Rosen would like to propose 4 additional lights on the south building wall that would provide security and lighting to the existing south sidewalk. Rosen Systems does not have a retail storefront, nor do they have unexpected visitors. Therefore, to add pedestrian amenities to be would be an invitation to this property that does not wish to have uninvited guests. Therefore, we are only proposing the additional 4 lights on the south wall of the building and the additional landscaping along the south and west property lines as our pedestrian amenities. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? Thank you. Now we will have testimony in support of the application from the public. I don't have any cards. Is anybody interested in that? Hearing none, testimony opposed to the application. Once again, no cards. I'm not hearing any testimony, neither in support nor opposed to the application. No cards and no hands. Okay, hearing none, can we have a summation by staff, please?
Thank you. The request that is before you is for 2 things. Well, 3 things. Approval of a site development plan for a building expansion. The specific details of that include the approval of a modified building facade on the west and south elevations to address the design standards through alternative measures, as the applicant has described and they provided in their colored elevation. The other request is for deferral of pedestrian amenities to a time in the future when the abutting properties to the east and the south have been developed, as the applicant described in their presentation. From staff's perspective, there may be opportunities to look at pedestrian amenities as they've described with the lighting and the vegetation through the landscaping. There may be some other opportunities. There's planters. There are other types of amenities described in the code that may not be either throwaway or easily removed or attract the wrong type of attention. So staff does suggest that there may be some opportunity for some pedestrian amenities at this time. Deferral of trash cans and others that may invite the wrong type of use at this time may be worth considering. So that's essentially all I have for this summation.
Any questions? One question I have for staff is going back once again, there were 2 options I heard for deferral. As that's what the applicant's requesting. There was a deposit account option where they put money in an account now and it can later be used for those amenities. And there was also an option for the contract to just be made between the city and the applicant that they would build it later. Does staff have a preference between those 2 options?
No.
Okay.
No preference. I think probably the one that would be I'm sure the applicant will have their views on this, but probably the one that is essentially a deposit would be the one that would be the easiest to activate.
Okay.
Because the improvement agreements tend to require more of a trigger for a full-scale street improvement as opposed to site frontage improvements. So I guess it depends on, you know, how, what mechanism would allow for those amenities to go forward, whether it's development on the south side of the street, annexation of the street, or some other type of mechanism that would trigger that improvement.
Another question on that. The deposit account, if that were the action be taken, when the development does occur, since the city has a deposit account, does the city contract for the work to be done, or does the city release the... Okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to
and essentially, it's a one-time deal, so there is no inflationary take to go back and say, well, benches now cost this much. Essentially, what the types of facilities and the quantity would be identified, the unit cost, and then that would be identified as being a deposit, and that would essentially satisfy that requirement. And as to when it's built, it would be an undetermined point in the future, but their obligation would be deemed complete at that point.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Andy. And we'll now have a rebuttal from the applicant.
Speak to the... Is that book here?
Please. State your name and address too.
Niles Hansen, 86365 College View, I own the property. On the just a question about the deferral. I guess I'm concerned about how to establish the cost of it, and what if intent to annex the street and continue with the development plan, what if it goes nowhere? At what point can it be determined that it's to be returned? You know, for instance, the property that we're adjacent to on Franklin originally had been intended to increase the right-of-way on Franklin, and that was held by the ODOT for a long time, and then they finally decided not to go anywhere with it. And I believe now it's under the control of Springfield. But those are city plans and community plans frequently change over time.
Christina's response from staff appropriate? Point?
Once you've moved on from the application.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Now we will have, I entertain a motion to close or continue the public hearing.
Motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
All right. Motion to close the public hearing by Commissioner McGinley, seconded by Commissioner Landon. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Now, I'd entertain a motion to close or extend the written record.
I move that we close the written record.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Bowes. Second by Commissioner Gill. Okay. Now we will have a Planning Commission discussion and possible questions to staff or public. So,
you need to vote on the motion.
Oh, I apologize. Sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Commissioner Bergen. Now it's closed, and now we will have Planning Commission discussion or possible questions to staff or public.
I should clarify that should be questions to staff. You've closed the public hearing, so it shouldn't anymore say questions to the public.
Thank you. Okay, so do we have any immediate questions?
I just have some thoughts. So I think this is this is a unique case that we have before us because it's in the Glenwood Refinement Plan. The plan is ambitious and it's won awards, and it's designed to create a riverfront mixed-use district that emphasizes and encourages a pedestrian, bicycle, transit-friendly environment. My main concern is would be postponing the pedestrian amenities. I think especially in a nodal development that will have no point in the node more than a fourth of a mile away from a transit stop, it is essential to have street trees to combat effects from the urban heat island. I think also things like benches and trash cans. I know right now the conditions look different, but with this plan that's been created, it's designed to have workplaces and retailing spots and places to eat and play and walk and bike. And you need to have trash cans and benches and build that investment for other other companies and residential places to come in. So I'm not in favor of deferring the improvements until later on.
I'm just a little curious. I mean, I don't know what the development is, except, you know, does the city have any idea, say, based on growth projections, when they would annex south of Nugget or Franklin, east? What's the expectation, and do we have a way of you know, if a builder deposits for some furniture, does the city have a way of causing that money to grow? Because 5 years from now, new ventures are going to cost twice what they do today.
Thank you. I don't have a really good map that shows the annexation area, but the area on the opposite side of Franklin Boulevard essentially is known, we refer to it as the Wildish property. Right now there's some, or at least there were some cars being stored there temporarily. It's vacant. It used to be equipment maneuvering, and there was a school there for equipment operations. That's been annexed to the city, so it's eligible for development. I don't know about the timing. Franklin Boulevard, or McVeigh Highway, whichever you refer to it as, has been annexed all the way down to just shy of the 30th Avenue overpass. So the whole right-of-way there that they front onto has been annexed. Nugget Way has not, for whatever reason, even though many of the properties that it serves are annexed, such as France Bakery and this site. So it's a matter of the city looking to annex the right-of-way of a substandard road and then looking to leverage capital funds to improve it and to maintain it, because it does get a beating from all of the truck traffic and equipment and so on that use it. But it is a necessary industrial street for all the operations there. There's a lot of activity that goes on in that area. So so that the jurisdictional issue is one thing. The city could move to annex it with uncontested by the county because of its classification. I don't know if the political will exists for that right yet. And I'm trying to remember what the second part of your question was.
Just kind of the expected growth, and then also, you know, the requirement that, you know, they deposit money for some furniture. Does the city have a way to manage so that if 5 years from now they're going to put in planters or benches or lighting or whatnot, that those funds can be kept up in such a way that the city doesn't end up with a financial problem?
And I guess, arguably, this will be a pretty minor component of the street improvement. You know, it's paving and utilities that would be the big ticket item. Some of the, you know, kind of street furniture, so to speak, are a cost, but not a six-figure cost or seven-figure cost as far as the overall, you know, street improvements go. There may be ways, and it has been done in the past, where there would be a sunset clause, essentially a 10-year, you know, surety. Nothing happens in that time on the property and the street remains as is, then the funds are returned. Or there's another mechanism to just essentially make it a trigger when the street is approved and is a project, everyone participates, and their obligations would be not sidewalk, not street trees, because those will be installed, but benches, garbage cans, artwork, planters, that sort of thing to meet that requirement. So there are some options. It's the challenge is when and how. And if it's now, does it benefit more than harm the applicant in particular, because they're going to be maintaining all of it?
If I could also call to your attention, there's almost two sets of pedestrian amenities that the code deals with. There are the six benches, six trash receptacles, and nine pedestrian scale wall-mounted lights that have to be placed in the area immediately along the frontage in the public right-of-way. But then there are additional amenities that can be any place between the curb and the building, so they could be on the property owner's side. And so later on, as part of a city project, it would not be a normal thing for the city to go and place more items on the private property side, so that eliminates that option if we defer. If we defer to either just city street improvements or through a deposit.
Thank you.
So, question on that. So are we or are we not able to just agree to deferral on specific amenity items?
Yes, you could say these are required now, and then these additional amenities would be deferred until later. And if you were going to defer the listed amenities the way in which they appear in the code, so specifically ones from the code without altering the standard, but you would defer them to a later time, then I do not believe that that would be a plan modification, because they're still being required. We had another decision that the city had in the last couple of years where the hearings official for Lane County, so it was in the UGB, it wasn't the Planning Commission, but the hearings official ruled that the timing of whether standards are met doesn't really go to whether the standard's met. It's a timing consideration, so I think the same reasoning would apply here. That standard's still being met, it's just not being met at day of opening, but in the future.
How does the city determine when the standard would be met? How does the city determine the timing?
I guess there'd have to be some type of a defined trigger point, such as when the right-of-way is annexed, when the street is rebuilt, because that would be a specific identifiable point of decision that could be looked at as being, okay, this is what would precipitate this action on part of the applicant or whatever it is.
And there are several different ways in which that agreement could be written. One could be a development agreement that's recorded against the property, and it would be on the city to then go to the property owner at the time, whoever that is, and enforce that. Let them know, hey, this trigger point's been met, and if you don't comply, then we might take code enforcement action. In other contexts, we use improvement agreements that are tied to the council declaring a local improvement district. So the council would declare and assess a local improvement district, and the property owner, by their agreement, would waive the ability to object to the formation of that district. They would be able to voice concerns about the cost or the scope of improvements, but then the cost of those improvements are assessed against their property and they pay them as a property assessment. The council in recent years has a stated policy of not forming local improvement districts, but that's a policy and not anything that's binding. So those are some of the different options. And I think in crafting a condition of approval, we would want to be as clear as possible about what type of mechanism and what timing and what trigger points would be included in the drafting of the agreement.
I think I'm still having trouble being in support of deferring the improvements, because just north of this development, there's been a huge street improvement. I know you all probably know about the two roundabouts and then the added multi-use paths, and soon I suppose there will be repairs to the, the bus pull-off stops. But because that's been built, that tells me that there's been an investment in this area to make it friendlier for folks who are not traveling in motorized vehicles, personal motorized vehicles. So I think having amenities that do encourage walking, biking, and taking the bus, as is stated in the Glenwood Refinement Plan, are necessary when it comes to changes to development in this area.
Question for Seth. So the amenities that there has been a concern for, just to clarify, are specifically the benches and the trash cans, correct?
I think it based on the narrative, I think the or the testimony, the concerns with the benches might be mitigated by the method of installation. There's benches in parks, there's benches all along the pathway system, you know, downtown, and if they're installed correctly and they're sufficiently durable in their construction, they don't tend to go missing. They may be unfortunately vandalized or whatever, but they don't tend to disappear. Trash cans are a different situation because I understand the applicant's point of view that as soon as their gates close and they're gone, what happens in the next 12 hours or whatever overnight is that it's then an opportunity for people to just discard whatever. So then they're left hauling what could be undesirable material out because the trash can would be their responsibility. Similar to downtown, there's trash cans along Main Street. Typically, it's the front end property owner that maintains that, changes out the garbage. Unless, you know, it's around City Hall, in which case it's the city staff that do that. So so there may be some deferral of certain improvements, like trash cans, if that's the major concern, and look to what would be appropriate, what could be installed and not be a throwaway, that would have some durability and some longevity on the site. And so, you know, at least go a long way to addressing the requirement and get it off on the right foot, essentially.
Well, in response to that, my opinion is that the I agree that almost all of the amenities could be placed in such a way that they wouldn't be vandalized or stolen. My specific concern is with the trash receptacles. I mean, it is six or trash receptacles, and I think that being that this is an island at the moment of development, the trash receptacles would not be of that much use to too many people, and I think it'd be better in the idea and spirit of refining the district that those trash receptacles go in when everything else is new too, and they'll actually be used. I think it doesn't make very much sense for everything to be developed in an area and then there are these old trash bins there that probably have been used, if they're metal, possibly rusted, chipped, spray painted, things like that, vandalized. I think that it would stand out even worse if everything else was developed 5-10 years from now and we have this one area that has really old amenities. So I personally think that the idea of the city agreeing to a deposit account for specifically the trash receptacles, if the applicant still wants that. Otherwise, I think the other amenities are completely reasonable to build now, so.
You're thinking, if I may, that they should go ahead and build the benches? And I mean, part of the discussion is that the road's going to end up getting torn off, and I'm just not sure what impact that's going to have.
I think the location of benches would be installed probably behind the sidewalk, between the sidewalk and I guess their property fence, or in other locations where they wouldn't be affected adversely by a project, or in the event that there was a formal sidewalk improvement, they could be removed and then reinstalled, but not in the way of any paving or road widening or something like that. I think that the right-of-way exists and it's wide enough for the planned street that's there, so it's just a matter of resurfacing that particular street and adding the necessary stormwater facilities to in the future.
One of the main issues in my mind that differentiates the trash cans from the benches is that the benches don't require maintenance, whereas the trash cans do require maintenance. They're going to have an employee empty those trash cans. And I think that having employees empty trash for nobody there doesn't really make that much sense right now. I think once we have employees walking up those sidewalks and the beautiful refined district that Commissioner McGinley was referring to, I think that is the time when the trash cans will be worth maintaining. At this point in time, I don't see a reason.
I do have a question. If the applicant was to, say we were to move to have, the route we take is for them to put the funds into a savings account with the city, or an account with the city, excuse me, not savings. If there's a transfer of title in the, down the line, how would that look, or does that not affect right now? Does that relay over to the new property owner to be responsible for that?
Andy, I can address that. So they would be paying money to the city for future. It wouldn't be like the city opening a bank account in their name or a specific line item in their name. We would just note that that had been received for that purpose, and it would be tied to the development application. So if those properties are transferred in the future, then that proper, that obligation has been met and it continues down. This one example I can think of previously where the city required that was for a large subdivision in the city for the building of a new fire station. The city had obtained property to construct a fire station, and they took in a large deposit towards those services because they would be needed. The subdivision would generate a need for that extra fire service. Subsequently, Eugene Springfield Fire District merged, and through the Eugene and Springfield Fire merger, there was no longer a need for a new fire station to meet that growing need. And so the city determined that the deposit that had been received for that purpose was no longer needed, and they returned it to the person who paid the deposit, not allocated among the individual owners of the subdivision. So that would be, I think, the precedent for what would happen in a similar situation. For example, if a deposit was required and then Nugget Way were to be vacated and it was no longer public right-of-way, then that deposit, I would think, would go back to the party that paid it, or their legal successor if the legal entity that pays it is no longer around then as a second business or business, or if it's an individual, their heirs would be examples of how that could happen.
Great, thank you.
So there's been discussion of the possibility of agreement for a deposit account and question of what a trigger would be, what trigger would be suggested. What would it look like tonight if we were going to entertain a motion in that direction? What would we have to do in order to determine that trigger? Would we state it here and now, or would that trigger be determined later by the city? A state or no?
So you would make up a motion to approve with the condition of approval the way that you would like it to be worded. And then we would also recommend that you would then reopen the record to allow the applicant to provide specific evidence or testimony on that narrow piece, and reopen it for that like sort of narrow purpose. Or for the, you could also decide to allow the general public to respond on that, but nobody else has participated so far. So I think opening it up for the purpose of the applicant responding to that condition as proposed.
Thank you.
My suggestion would be to consider a trigger point of the opposing property to the south across Nugget Way developing and their street frontage obligations that would be mirroring this more or less be a trigger mechanism for that. I don't feel that the property to the east across McBay Highway or Franklin Boulevard, the Wildish property as identified by the applicant, would have the same type of obligations because they have a main arterial street along their frontage. This is more of a local street, and so the obligations are a little different. And it would, to me, it does make sense that when the opposing property on the south, your counterpart, so to speak, across the street develops, that would be an appropriate time because they're going to be providing those improvements that you complete your improvements as well, so that they match essentially, and both properties have met their obligations across that portion of the street.
Back to you, Christina, just one more clarification. You said reopen the written record or the written record?
Not the public hearing, just the written record.
Okay, and what that would look like?
We want them just to respond.
But in writing?
No.
Versus
so that we can make an action on it is what I was confused at.
Sandy has ideas about how.
Sorry. What I'm thinking is you draft your best condition of approval that you would like to put forth. Then we allow the applicant an opportunity to raise any concerns that they have with that, because along with your condition of approval, we're going to need to make sure we have findings to support your decision. And so we want to be able to address any of their concerns with the findings or any changes that could be made that meet your intent, but address any of their concerns before we finalize the decision.
Thank you, Sandy.
But to be clear, when that public hearing is reopened, if they request an additional 7 days to leave the public record open, by law, you have to grant that request. So it may be both, or if that makes sense.
Okay. So if that were to happen, if that were to extend, then would we have to reconvene on the topic?
Yes.
Okay. Thoughts from the commission?
I'll say something. First, I'd like to say about the building design. I feel like that does meet the intent of this, to have some visible breakup of a building for pedestrians. I know that it is windows in the code, but I think a lot of industrial or buildings of this use, even if they have windows, sometimes they're mirrored windows, you can't see in the windows, so it really is becomes kind of a decorative element, as this does too. So I think that it meets the intent of what we were trying to do, which is making it cool and better for pedestrians. So I think the building design is strong. And then I lean more toward getting the majority of amenities in place now. I think it's a significant site. It's a corner where people see coming in from the south. And I think that has impact for future development. And this plan, which was pointed out by Commissioner McGinley. But I do understand the trash can issue.
I have a question. If a motion was to be made, when a motion is to be made, is it appropriate to have it be either or, whichever comes first, either the property across the way, across Nugget Way is developed, and or that street is annexed into the city, whichever comes first? Because my concern is with the property, if it being contingent upon the property across the street, you're now putting that in the holder of the owner, or in the discretion of the potential owner, future owner of across the street, the vacant land. Does that make sense?
You could write it that way.
But, I mean, that may not necessarily be a bad thing. You know, for instance, we keep talking about putting the benches in right away. One of the dangers of putting that out there on the edge of civilization is it becomes a great camping ground for homeless people, not necessarily something that's going to enhance the appeal of a neighborhood to people coming in. That would be a concern.
I would argue for benches for like pedestrian comfort, especially when it comes to folks who have different abilities and trouble walking and need a resting spot. Folks who are older, kids that can't walk as far. I mean, it really is something that impacts ability to walk, to have those resting points, and I think it does make it a more attractive space. And having people that can be seen by some as undesirable is the nature of living and working in a public space. Having them. Part of making public improvements is that they are to be enjoyed by all.
So right now, what we're looking at is discussion of what amenities should be required now, if not all. When should they be postponed until, if we do postpone some? For how long would the account last? Would we take a deposit or would we not take a deposit? There are quite a few things on the table here, so I think it's important we sort of come to at least some sort of compromise or agreement on the different pieces there. And once we have agreement or compromise on those, then we can attempt to draft a motion. And when we have one of those, then we can talk about whether or not we want to reopen the written record or the public hearing. So there are quite a few things at work here. So just for starters, do we have any ideas between all of us on what amenities should be required now and what later, if any? So I mentioned the trash cans being the only thing postponed. How do people feel about that in general?
I agree with that.
Okay. So if that is the case, then we're looking at postponing the trash cans. And if we're postponing them, what type of postponement? Would we want it to be a deposit account as discussed, or would we want it to just be in a group contractual agreement between the city that the property owner will do it at the given time?
I personally think a contractual agreement.
As opposed to the deposit account?
As opposed to the deposit account.
I think, Andy, did you mention that the city prefers the deposit over the contractual agreement, that you're moving away from those agreements?
It would if it was a substantial number of improvements, but I think if it's one specific item and the applicant has expressed their general support for it, it's just a matter of timing and making sure that it doesn't become a burden. I think that a contractual agreement, if the determination is made that the majority of the pedestrian amenities are required up front, that's where the concern is about the timing and the quantity and the magnitude of those improvements and ensuring that they will come. If it's a lesser component, I think the contractual agreement that Commissioner Bergen has stated would be appropriate in this case.
Thank you for your clarification.
I think that being said, with the trash cans, once again, not being that much of a cost. Also, the applicant expressing that that there were a lot of questions that would come into play with the deposit, it might be better to go with the contractual agreement, in my opinion, as well. Other thoughts?
Can I clarify on that a little bit? And the reason, my reason behind the contractual agreement is because if, for whatever reason, and I've been given no indication that this is the intent, but if the current owner does intend to sell, and we still have not had the obligation of putting trash cans in, that now transfers over with a contractual agreement, financial responsibility to the company that would be enjoying those amenities instead of the current owner, who may not ever be in ownership, may not be in ownership of the property when those amenities are put in place.
Any further thoughts? Is everybody in general agreement of the contractual agreement? Okay, so then we'll, what about a sunset? Does anybody have thoughts on a sunset? How long that would be, 10 years or no sunset?
If I may. I would offer that if you're looking at a contractual agreement, there wouldn't be a sunset. If it were a deposit, there would be reasonably be a sunset that they're not, essentially the money, it languishes forever. But the contractual agreement, as Commissioner Bergen points out, would run with the property. And so if, for whatever reason, there's a significant delay in improvements and the property changes hands, that contractual obligation can be acted upon by the city, irrespective of the property ownership or the tenant of the facility.
And there are also under law deadlines as to when agreements that are placed on property expire, and it's generally, I don't know that it would be specifically, but my memory is it's generally 10 years after the obligation becomes due. So it would be if the trigger point occurs and the city doesn't act, it doesn't hang out there. It can't legally hang out there for forever until the city decides to get around to it. So once that trigger is met, then we have a finite amount of time to get that obligation met before it legally becomes unenforceable.
Thank you. And so now we're looking, if not the sunset, then we'd be looking at the trigger point. So staff recommended that it be the property south, and Commissioner Bergen recommended that it be that and or general annexation of the area?
Of that street.
Of that street, okay.
Whichever comes first.
Does Does everybody agree that that's the best way to go? Okay. Are there any pieces that we're missing there?
I think if you're going to have the trigger point be the development of the property or the annexation, that you give them a certain amount of time to meet that obligation. So you say like within a year of annexation or whatever, so that it's not an immediately due item and gives them a chance to actually do it.
Okay.
And then one other point, the applicant raised a difference in code interpretation. They're interpreting frontage as meaning the street area subtracting out driveways. And so they calculated it as 320 feet. When Andy measured it, he included driveways. The code does not specifically define frontage. It doesn't specifically provide for or against including driveway areas in street frontage. Generally, the interpretation has been to include frontage, but I would include driveways in the frontage. But I would recommend including in your finding, or including in your motion, if you're going to do that tonight, directing a finding on how you interpret the code in that regard. So a finding that there is 440 feet of property frontage because driveways are included in the frontage calculation, or a finding that there are 320 feet of frontage because driveways are excluded in that.
And the implication being that there would be fewer amenities attributed to areas that are not contained within driveways.
So do you have a best practices recommendation between the two interpretations?
Well, my interpretation has always been, as Christina mentioned, that the frontage is essentially the legal boundary between the property and the road right of way, irrespective of whether there's a driveway there or not. That said, because in my presentation, it did describe the nature of the western edge of the property, which is predominantly driveways for truck maneuvering, which greatly limits the opportunity for pedestrian amenities to be placed in that area. So although it may generate the requirement for amenities, there's a much lesser area to provide those amenities. So it may be reasonable to consider the lesser amount, because otherwise you have a much reduced area to contain a whole bunch of benches, a whole bunch of trash enclosures, a whole bunch of, you know, trash containers. Eventually it may look out of place, conspicuous in its density, so to speak.
And so there would be two ways to go about that. One is you could interpret the code to exclude driveways from frontage calculation, which would have sort of implications in how the city is consistent in other areas and future decisions. And then the other option would be to find that a modification of the criteria is appropriate here under those criteria that we showed. Maybe we could pull those up now if you can go back to that. But you can modify the approval criteria, both in terms of the number of required, so reducing the number based on driveway frontage or some other factor, and also the types. The code already allows for flexing of the spacing standard is every 80 feet, but the code already says that the number is based on 80 feet. They don't have to be literally 80 feet. Those can be grouped or distributed. So that's not a modification to do that.
Do we have any thoughts from the commission?
I would prefer the modification just to not set a precedent and affect other land use applications, because I've never seen another land use application that doesn't include driveway measurements and frontage.
You're saying you should include the driveways even
well,
though they're somewhat.
Yeah, so I don't want to set a precedent. So I would go with the second option that Christina mentioned, which is the modification of these specific approval criteria.
Okay, thank you.
Am I understanding that?
If you wanted to require fewer than six benches, six trash receptacles, 9 pedestrian scale wall mounted lights, and 11 other additional amenities.
So including the driveway would make it require less?
No,
the other?
Make it go up.
With the driveway, there are 440 feet of property frontage along Nugget Way. excluding the driveway, there are 320.
Okay.
Which would correspond to four benches, four trash receptacles, and I can do the math on the rest of it.
Okay.
And we can do that if you want. So you could require that number one of two ways. You could require that lower number either by interpreting that the spacing standards there don't include driveways, which has an implication for future applications of this code. Or you could say the code requires 400, it says 440 feet requires that number. We're going to allow modification under the criteria on the screen. And that lower number or a different number is an appropriate modification.
So just one more clarification. The six trash cans we see on the staff report is if including driveway.
It's based, the numbers in the staff report are based on 440 feet.
Thank you. And we would need to list a finding for that, or we would have to list a finding if we were going the other way?
I think the best approach here is to figure out what makes sense to you, and then we'll help you figure out how to get there.
Okay. Well, how do we feel about the two options, driveway or no driveway?
Not including the driveway and just figure your requirement based on... Well, it's not including it that complicates it for the future.
What I was trying to say was figure out what you think would be appropriate, not how you're going to calculate it, but looking at the site, what number of pedestrian amenities of what type you think would be appropriate, and then we'll help you craft the language as to how we would get to that decision to support it.
I like as is listed in the staff report, there are six trash cans, I believe it was six benches, right?
Six benches.
Six benches. I think that's reasonable, looking at the picture personally. How does everybody else feel about the six and six?
Without seeing it on the ground, it's hard for me to say, but...
It is. And to my understanding, it was the six and six and plus 11 more amenities, correct?
Correct.
So it's not just the six and
right.
The six, plus 11 more.
Could we go to Google Street View?
Mm-hmm. And those 11 more would be different types of amenities, though. So they could be like small flower, like they could be flower pots. I think in hanging plants,
art.
So those 11 aren't necessarily all the same size. If it's large items, then it's going to look different than if it's small items. So I think those 11 items are a bit harder to judge on. But I feel that the trash cans and benches determining what the distance between benches should be, I think, is more of a logical approach to determining how many there are.
Is that not
helping?
Like,
or I should say quantitative.
You have it just a minute. I don't know why it's not. Not compatible with Internet Explorer, I think.
Andy, you had some street view captures in your staff presentation.
Yeah,
right?
You can just bring this up. Sorry about that. But it might be better just to show a better idea of how. So this probably gives a pretty good indication about the nature of the frontage, because most of the area on the curb, kind of the elbow of Nugget Way on the west side, will be reconfigured for a new driveway in the truck loading dock area. So everything essentially from just north of the corner where the road makes the 90 degree turn, out to the edge of their driveway, which is out towards Franklin, is essentially the area most eligible for pedestrian amenities of this project.
Okay.
there may be opportunities, you know, in the areas between the driveways, but I don't think that there'll be a requirement for landscaping, for stormwater facilities, and there may not be an opportunity for pedestrian amenities at this time too that will not get struck by vehicles or trucks maneuvering, that sort of thing.
So to clarify on that, it would be the benches and trash cans between the, on the very furthest south line, just along that line.
And slightly wrapping around to the north around the bend there, but essentially north of those two trees, it becomes more, there's a lot more activity there with truck movements, and the applicant's proposing to relocate the driveways in order to allow for the truck maneuvering in that area, so it presents limited opportunity for enemies there.
In that case, I think six benches may be a bit crowded on that specific piece. Looking at the size of that car. and yeah, it'd be much more useful to be there and walking the sidewalk. But I do understand where the applicant's coming from with six being a lot and including the driveway, making this difficult. And to ask once again, so the modification would not change precedent. It would keep precedent and modify for this specific case.
Correct. You would make specific findings, which you could include in your motion or direct us to prepare and come back to you for approval at a later date, either or. But there would need to be specific findings about how those criteria are met up with regard to that they're in character and they meet the policies for Glenwood. And so that would be binding on the specific facts here and this decision, but different development would have different facts and could have different findings.
Thank you. Okay, so being what I said, anybody else have thoughts on the numbers?
I think for this one, it's appropriate to allow for the modification. With that much driveway, it just doesn't seem feasible.
I think I heard the suggestion of going to four benches and four waste cans, and just because of the limited area, fits. Looking as dense as it otherwise would if we didn't have a similar situation.
General agreement on that?
Can I have a clarification? Would there be benches and or trash receptacles on Franklin?
Yes.
Okay. Just trying to get an idea of earlier when Commissioner McGinley had talked about pedestrians. Thank you.
All right, that being the case, I suppose we'll need to draft a finding for that. Would it be possible for legal counsel to draft the finding? Or would you want the commission to draft the finding?
Are you asking if you'd like me, I could do two things. I could try to draft a finding tonight based on input that you give me for you to vote on tonight, or we could continue your decision as long as there's not a 120-day rule issue. You could continue your deliberations until the next meeting that you have in January, and then review proposed additional findings and modified condition at that time.
Okay.
And so if Sandy has any other input on that.
So just maybe the second one might be easiest. It's certainly a lot easier on.
Yeah,
I mean, I think if we, potentially we could do it tonight. So I mean, let's see if we can get to a decision that everybody can support, and then depending on what time it is and how tired we all are, once we get to a decision, then we can figure out whether we can do it tonight or if you need to continue it to allow us.
Thank you, Sandy. So getting to that decision, I guess the motion that we'd be entertained tonight, if I'm right and we're all on the same page, is to approve the application with the findings and criteria of approval listed by the staff, with exception for the trash bins, and those being that we would want a contract between the city and the applicant that they will build those trash cans at a time triggered by an event, which would be the first of either the property directly to the south, which I don't know the tax law for developing, or the that section of Franklin Boulevard being annexed.
Sorry, can I clarify Nugget Way?
Nugget Way, sorry. Okay, Nugget Way being annexed and that being required within a year of either of those occurrences. And the finding we would have would be that we would be in favor of including the driveway in the measurement as is usual, but modifying the specific plan here in order to allow them to have less, considering the very small frontage as aesthetically. Is everybody in agreement that that is what we are thinking tonight?
Great. Quick question. So we've talked in depth about the trash receptacles, but we haven't necessarily in depth talked about the benches, the pedestrian scale wall mounted lights, as well as the 9 additional amenities that are supposed to be met. Are we looking to address those as well to get opinion on that, or are we just going to address the trash receptacles?
I was under the impression that we wanted to have those built now, everything other than the trash receptacles. And the only thing that we'd have a contract for being built later would be the trash receptacles. Is that correct?
I'm fine with that.
Anybody else?
That's the consensus, because I was under the impression we were going line by line of which items.
Oh, I thought it was a specific exception for trash cans, but I may have misunderstood. Who is on consensus that we were doing just specifically trash cans? Okay. Okay, well, if that's fine and everybody agrees that that's essentially the motions that we'd like to have tonight, I believe Sandy is currently working on something for us.
So, we need some decision about the number of additional amenities.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. The additional amenities.
Okay.
As well.
The number of amenities. Okay. So just so we'd be going from 6 to 4. What's 11 based on, Andy? Is that just every per
frontage?
Yeah. So it's based on the frontage. It's 2 per 80 feet, but there because 440 is not. When you calculate it to, and then it rounds to 11 instead of to 12 because it's less than.
Okay.
But 320, so 320 feet, if you excluded the driveway as your basis for the modification, then 320 feet would correspond to 8 of those additional listed amenities.
Okay.
And also to 7 pedestrian scale mounted wall mounted lights.
Okay. Are those numbers satisfactory?
Yes.
Okay. Then that's what we are looking for, and we will wait on this finding in order to entertain a motion, correct?
Yeah, I think if you want to, unless Sandy wants to report input, we can take a
additional. Do you want to take a break?
Okay, we'll now take a 5-minute recess.
We got a 5-minute recess.
Oh, well.